Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, sit down through the years. Everybody say, God's been good to me. Oh, now. Come on, church.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Derek Oliver, for D&K Bible Break. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. Again, I am your host, Derek Oliver, for D&K Bible Break on Blog Talk Radio live, or you can call in at 845-277-9094. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight for our show. I just want to thank you for tuning in every night that Chaos is on the radio. I just want to say thank you for supporting us. Tonight we got D&K Bible Break along with my wife, Miss Kay, is on the line with us. Also, we got a special guest. We'll get into all that in about 30 seconds. I just want to thank my sponsors, Royal Caribbean, Pepsi, Pizza Hut, Brentwood Publishing, and Finish Line for sponsoring all of our shows. If you follow me on Facebook, you saw I made a post today with all the shows that we have on Chaos Talk Radio, Praise Tabernacle Church, Freestyle Friday, also Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, also Overseer Senseless Spiritual Sense of Life with Overseer Timothy Jackson on Saturdays. You saw the breakdown of how many people tune in for every episode that we do. We're over 10,000 per week, and that's 4 weeks in a month. That's over 40,000 people that we are reaching just on Blog Talk, just on Chaos Talk Radio by itself, 40,000 people. So I'm very happy about that, excited about it. And again, I just want to thank all the listeners who support all these different shows that we have from Monday to Sunday. We got the word being brought out. Don't matter what day you want to listen to it, we got you covered. So I just want to say thank you. also, we just got a lot of stuff going on. We're still doing a scholarship. Hopefully in the next week or two, we will be broadcasting live our scholarship giveaway. Also, we have, you've been following me about our weight loss on August 15th. We'll be letting you know how many pounds I lost from the start of this for the last 8 weeks. And I'm just want to just say again, thank you, and just keep following us. And again, we're now a little bit of knowledge that we've learned to learn this journey, whether it has to do with everyday life, church, exercising, eating right, whatever it is, we're going to try to give it to you from a spiritual basis. We're going to try anyway. And with that being said, I'm going to open up this D&K Bible Break. We got a great topic tonight called Church Hurt. I got a special guest with us tonight. Miss Emma out of Houston, Texas, is going to be joining us tonight. And we may even have some other people come on tonight. But right now, it's just going to be us talking about Church Hurt. So if you just bow your heads with me, we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank everyone that's listening in tonight. Father God, we want you just to be with us tonight, that our words are not heard, but your words are heard, Father God. Father God, give the listener the ear to hear and to receive what we have to say. And Father God, hide us behind the cross where we're not seen, but your word is seen. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, I'm going to turn it over to to Miss Kay. She's going to open us up, and we're going to be talking about church hurt. So please fasten your seatbelts, because I have a feeling this is going to be real raw. Real raw, because I'm going some places on every level about church hurt. Just letting you know, be aware.
Put your seatbelt on.
Yeah, put your seatbelts on. And that's about it. So I'm going to turn it over to Miss Kay, and she's going to take us into the topic of church hurt.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all for tuning in tonight. I'm going to share a story that I came across. And it's about a young lady. She was newly saved and didn't know all of the rules that apparently came with going to church. So she didn't know. She just knew that she loved Jesus and the Bible she discovered him in. She wanted more of that, and she thought a church seemed like the best place to turn. She had no idea that her clothing and her speech would immediately set her apart like a dandelion in a field of roses. Nor did she know that the roses would turn on her because of it. Her skirt was shorter than theirs. She didn't know what many of the words they used meant. She felt out of touch with everyone there already, and then she heard it from a distance, and it was gossip. Hurtful, hateful words uttered about her among the people she thought were supposed to be the exact opposite. She wanted to run to Jesus and flee his church. Now, everyone, like this young lady, it may not be the exact same scenario, but everyone has experienced some type of hurt in some way or another by something that happened to them at the church. Whether it's, let's just say, being turned down from, you want to sing a song and you ask if you can sing something and, oh, you don't have the vocals like everybody else, so no, you can't sing that. Or maybe you're not invited to a group outing, or maybe you've been told that your testimony was too long and you need to shorten it up a little bit. Nobody don't want to hear all that. Or made to feel like your life experience doesn't qualify you on the goodness of God and how someone can overcome a situation because you haven't taken any Bible classes. Or looked down on because you didn't come from a church background. Now, those are just to name a few things that people go through. So with that being said, church hurt, we're going to be talking about tonight, from the pulpit down to the pew members, choir members, ushers, deacons, greeters, praise team members. Nobody is exempt. So we're going to be talking about all of this, abuse of power from the leaders and from one member to another. And things like manipulation and just making people feel, you know, that they're not worthy to be in the Lord's house, which is not of God. So I'm going to open up. We do have two great people here tonight, and I'm going to let them just expound on their experience with church hurt and the things that they want to talk about tonight.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Kay. We have special guests out of Houston, Texas, Ms. Emma, and we're going to let you go ahead and get started tonight.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to expound on what Sister Kay has touched on. There are a couple of forms of church hurt that the Lord had me to study upon and meditate upon, in which a lot of it is everyday common things that every last one of us on this line have either witnessed or even experienced, whether it was in church or from clergy. Rejection is one, if y'all want to take notes. Gossip and conflict. Insensitive leadership to others. In the church or other parishioners, and even over food. Okay, so we're going to touch, and I'm going to go with the scripture about rejection. You can follow along with me in Romans 12, and we're going to expound on it a little bit with the rejection piece first, and to back it up as far as how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the mannerism as Christ humbled himself. That's going to be Philippians 1 and 27. And on the rejection piece, you can add the outcome of when we reject others and we mistreat others in the church, what the Word of God says about it in Matthew 7, 1 and 2. And you can read the whole chapter, Matthew, for time's sake. Tonight I want to stay in order and stay on task, okay? And also Romans 14 and 12 to back up Matthew 7 and 1 and 2. So as far as rejection, in Romans 12, 1 and 3, the Word of God says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not man, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that, so that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect is the will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. And also, this is going into rejection, Matthew 7, 1 through 2. Judge not, or you too will be judged, or you too will be judged in the same measure, the same way you judge others, and the same measure you use will be measured to you. So it's founding on what Sister Oliver was talking about. The Word has already told us. It doesn't matter from the pulpit down, from the usher board to the choir stand to the lay members. If a person is to come into the body, we are to love each other at all costs. And this Word just told us, if we judge someone, the way we judge that person is going to be judged. We're going to be judged in the same measure as we've judged that other person. Now, as far as accountability, Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So as far as the church hurt goes, he said that when he comes back, he's looking for a church without a spot or wrinkle. And he's going to judge the church first. And he's going to judge the church more harshly. So what that means is...
Let me ask you a question. I don't mean to cut you off. Right there.
That's okay.
What you just said, and it's the scriptures and everything is on the money. But, you know... Mm-hmm. I'm in position and I sit behind the pulpit and everything. And I've heard people say, you know, he's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. And then they'll look at the people. I'm going to say in back of the church so I don't get real long winded. The people that sit in the back who ain't always coming to church consistently, who have known faults, and we seem to look down on them as if they're staining the church. And don't really show them the type of love. I counsel a lot of people who go to church, maybe not consistently, mm-hmm. don't do everything right. And then we get preachers who say the same scripture, that he's coming back for a church.
Mm-hmm.
We look our nose down on people who are struggling in public with sin. And the difference between
mm-hmm.
struggling with sin in public is people like me in church, we struggle in quiet, in private. And there's no
right.
difference between me or the next person. But we look our nose down on people who are struggling and act like, because they're not doing A, B, C, and D, and turn yourself three times around and say Jesus all the time. Something's wrong with them when they're struggling,
mm-hmm.
just like everybody else. But because they don't they can't tithe like the seasoned saints tithe, and they don't have the commitment like everybody else due to work and dealing with family issues. Everybody just can't be in church all the time before the pandemic. Can't be in church every time the door is open. And they get their nose frowned on them, and all these people want is love. And we all struggle with something, and we struggle with it in private. But some of us that sits behind the pulpit look our nose down on those type of people, and they use this type of scripture where he's coming back without a church with a spot or wrinkle, and it tricks everyone to think that you got to go through loops and loops and loops to be a part of that number, and you don't. I hope I'm saying that right. But because
you said
I
know exactly the way it's supposed to be said.
Right now, and the reason we're doing church hurt, and I'm going to let you finish, is because I know a lot of people, and Ms. Kay know a lot of people who are struggling, going through things in church, and they're hurting because the leaders or the brothers or their sisters is turning their nose down to them, making them feel like, you know, making them feel not worthy.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's
correct.
Not the way we're supposed to do things. And then they feel like they've got an issue. And then they start second-guessing their salvation because we're turning our nose up at them because they're struggling with sin. There's no great big sin or no little sin. Sin is sin. And because they're struggling publicly with it, we want to run their nose down in it, and we want to put them off in a section where they can't sit up in the front of the church. They got to sit towards the middle and the back of the church. And when they talk to the pastor, they already know what the pastor going to say because he's not spending no time with them in telling them how to get that one-on-one relationship with the Lord. No matter what I do, I got a one-on-one relationship with the Lord. And before anyone can tell me or chastise me, the Lord is already chastising me. But I know that because I've been in the Lord for a long time. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think because they mess up or they're sinning consistently is because they don't love the Lord. It's not that you don't love the Lord. You just don't know how to discipline yourself in order to get that sin out of your life. Because in order to get it out, you got to put the word in you. And in order to put the word in you, you got to be taught the word. This isn't something that happens overnight. And for some people that happen overnight, well, hallelujah to you. It may have been easy for you, but it's hard for some other people that's struggling. And I hate to see people in church, especially the lay members, people who don't have a title, get hurt by clergy. And I'm going to stop for a minute because I can talk about this all day. I'm going to let y'all continue. But I just want to put that out there because a lot of people, that scripture you said, a lot of people use that to hurt other people to move forward. And that's not what that
means. And I got a
means.
Scripture for it. No, no, no.
So go ahead.
And I got
go
I got to back that up. And I'm going to back
go
that
right
up. I'm
ahead.
Glad that you spoke on that. Let's go to Romans 14, and these are scriptures that you can cross-reference. Everybody can go back and cross-reference. I'm glad you brought that up because that's one that the Lord, this is church hurt. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. And the same rule applies. So if you see someone that may not look like you, may not smell like you, may not dress like you, they may not talk like you, and I'm speaking from the pulpit down, I am a PK's kid, and I saw all of this mess from the church house, from the pew riders to the homemongers. I'm going there because there are some church whores too. Okay?
I can't wait to
the
get
word
that
of
part.
God,
yeah, I said that too.
The word of God
go ahead,
says, the weak and the strong. This is what Romans 14 talks about. The one who eats everything must not treat the other with contempt. The one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge. So in the same retrospect, Pastor Derek may not be where, I'm just going to say Pastor Emery. I don't even know who Pastor Emery is, so we're going to use that name, okay? Maybe a pastor, if the shoe fits, wear it. Long story short, it makes no difference, and that's where I'm going to tie this in with insensitivity of leadership to others in the church and other parishioners. When we're not supposed to be up browbeating anyone. Jesus is love, and Jesus is a gentleman. And our Father in heaven, he said, if we did it unto the least of these, we've done it unto him. So God said in the word to be patient and to be kind and to be barren. We hear the word, the fruits of the Spirit, all the time. And I'm going back to he's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. We're thinking, a lot of people have always thought it's the church house. You are the church.
It's you. Amen. It's
you are the church. So we better make sure our temple, this temple of the Holy Ghost that Sister Emma walked in, is holy, pleasing, and acceptable in God's eyesight. And how do we make sure that we are living holy, pleasing, and acceptable in God's eyesight? Studying his word, getting fed his word. And people say, oh, I'm not up in the clouds all the time, but you're up in grocery stores, you're up in shopping centers. Some of you are up in other people's beds that you ain't got no business being in. That's what he means about he's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. Is making sure that we get it right before him and we go by what this Bible says. And not just the Bible, you go by and you get some other books like the Apocryphal. The Apocryphal have additional books in the Bible, the books of Moses, the books of Jasher. It's a lot of stuff that's not even in contained in this Bible. It's cross-referencing and backing it up with the word. It's many things that you can learn. He said, take this word and learn of me. So we as the church are individual temples. So Brother Derek, to answer that from the way God gave it to me, is the church. We are the church. And the book of Ephesians will tell you the body is made of many, many parts. Christ is the head of the church. So you may be the index finger. Another sister, brother on this line may be the big toe or the shoulder or the head. But if we are a part of the body of Christ, there's an accountability. And the account, one of these accountabilities is not tearing our sisters and brothers down. It's to uplift one another, rebuke in love, and back it up with the word. What we're missing it at is when we are backing something up with the word, how are we presenting it to that person? Are we being gentle? Are we being kind?
Let me just say this, because we're going to cut right to the chase. I'm going to get right to the meat of it. Most of the time when people use scripture, they use it for their own gratification. If you see someone doing wrong, they know they're doing wrong. You don't have to hit them in the head with 10, 15 different scriptures. They know that, because I believe that the Lord will chastise someone that's doing wrong. We want to see people do wrong to make it look, to put us on a cloud like we all that, like we super spiritual and like our stuff don't stink. And when we talk about church hurt and everything, and like I said, this means a lot to me, because I deal with a lot of people who are going through some hurt and hardship. And if we don't know how to deal with them, we'll lose them because they're not being taught right. And they sit up under these churches with these pastors and everything. And a lot of things is what we were talking about, the church. The church starts with the inside of your heart. That's what church is. It's your body. It's not a building. And it's not a building. So when we talk about the church and the building, I'm talking about religious folks. Now, that there is religious folks, and then there is church folks, and then there's spiritual folks. And in that category, that's how I got them category-wise. And the spiritual folks are the people who are struggling to live for Christ, who lay down, is not about them, but it's about not about their will, but about God's will. Then you have people who in that want to be spiritual. I call these type of people just people who want to look good for entertainment purposes. They ain't got no spiritual bone in their body. They just got religion. Everything to them is just religion. And when we talk about the church being the body, like you're saying, it's the it starts at home. It starts within your body, within yourself. And the reason we have this COVID-19 is not for the church to run away. It's for the church to come together. When you come together, your family got to come together. You got to come together within yourself in order to build God's church up. So right now, really ain't no one in church right now. But if he was to come back after church and you think he's coming to the church building, ain't nobody there. At least at my church, ain't nobody there. But at the end of the day, even in churches, you got a bunch of people, but ain't no spirits that's filled with the Lord in those churches. You just got bodies, and they're not spirit-filled bodies. So if they were spirit-filled bodies, they would be trying to heal the people that are hurt, counsel with them, and give them the bread of life that they need, and teach them how to fend for themselves in times like now, where you can't get to a church, you can't get to a preacher. The only way you can get to a preacher is you sit down on social media and go to their site while they sit behind their desk. And they might give you a shout out. They might. But they definitely, you can't get to them. And you never could get to them. And we're supposed to be teaching and preaching the word of God on a daily basis. And what hurts my spirit is a lot of people get hurt in church based because people are religious. They're not spiritual. They're religious. And they eat that religion up every single day. And they really think that God is coming back after a church building. All as nice as your church can be, with no paper on the floor, all nice and clean and everything else, that means nothing to the Lord if your spirit is nasty.
Correct.
And you're going to get left right here. I hope I'm not going over. I just get excited. I'm going to try to be quiet and let you two ladies talk. But I just don't like when people, like I said, get left to fend for themselves, and a lot of them don't know how. And it's not their fault, but they haven't been trained. And I won't get off the subject just for a minute, and I'm going to be quiet. We got extra time tonight, too. So if I need to go a little over, we're going to go over. But I'm going to use, and she don't even know I'm going here. I'm going to use my wife, Kay, as an example. She's so fragile. And when I say that is when I tried to get her to do this a few months ago, she didn't want to do it. She didn't feel she was qualified. And she had all these reasons that was planted in her head why she couldn't do it. And I'm telling her, if anyone's qualified to do it, you're qualified to do it because of what you've been through, your experience. And because everything you've been through, and you're still serving the Lord. You have something to say because you didn't go to seminar school, but if anyone was to say something to her, she'd be like, I'm not doing it no more. I'm done. And I'm like, where you get this from? And she's not the only one. I'm using her because she overcame her fears and she's doing it.
But I don't do that no more.
No, you don't do that no more. But I'm just saying someone put that there, some spiritual I don't know what I'm gonna try to be nice tonight. Some clown put that in her spirit that if you don't go through A, B, C, or D, you're not qualified to do certain things. And there's a lot of members sitting in a lot of pews who feel like they're not qualified because they didn't go through A, B, C, or D. And my thing is this: God called me to preach. I ain't got to ask her for no other man to tell me how am I qualified to preach, teach, or do anything. I was called to preach. Regardless what anyone thinks of me, that's what I was called to do. You cannot say because I didn't go your way to school doesn't mean that I'm not qualified. But the Bible speaks about that as well, prophets and teachers, and some of those that's preaching right now that say you got to go through all these steps in order to do something. To me, that's a lie out of pits of hell. If he could use a donkey to talk to someone, he can use anybody. Anybody is qualified to do anything if God called them to do it. That's just my take on it. I'm not up for debate or argue about it. That's just me. If he can use a donkey, he can use anybody.
That's the key, though, because if you don't know, if you're listening, I'm not, okay, I hope I say this the right way. Yes, listen to your leader as he follows Christ. However, if you feel that the Lord is leading you to do something else, and you know you saved, and if you, my leader, and you're teaching me, you're equipping me to use the tools with the word of God, so you should be saying, yes, go do this, go do that. You should be proud to say, that's my member right there, and that's what they're doing, because they're doing it under you. There shouldn't be no browbeating and spiritual beatings, and because I didn't say it the way you said it, and you taught me. you should be confident in what you teach your people and let them flow as the spirit leads them.
But and I want to say this, and I'm really going to be quiet this time. But regardless whether you're a leader, you're supposed to follow your leader and all of that, that's only to a certain extent. This is a personal relationship. If you're following your leader, somewhere you can't do that. And this COVID-19 has taught us that. You can't, because we don't know what the leaders is doing. If you're not having church at home right now, and I'm not saying you don't follow your leader like you don't follow them, but if you're not doing something at home, uplift the Lord on your own because the church doors are shut right now, you really weren't going to church. You had a form of religion. If you're not practicing what you've been taught, and if your pastors and leaders hasn't taught you how to have church at home, I beg to differ with you. And I just got to do this just for the plug of chaos. People don't want me doing this D&K Bible break, not at my home church, but at other churches, because they feel like I'm trying to do something. Well, what I'm trying to do is improve my relationship with the Lord, because there is a pandemic going on, and me and my house is going to serve the Lord. Regardless who getting mad about us serving the Lord, we will have church in our house. I've learned, if you can't have church in your house, you can't have church nowhere, period. It's a form of religion. If people will want to debate me on it, it's a form of religion. You need to have church study at home. And if your pastor's not teaching you to open the word up for yourself and read it and get it for yourself to get to another level, it comes by having Bible study at home. You ain't going to understand everything. I got to talk to my pastor, make sure I got to understand everything every now and then. I got to get taught and understand how to do certain things. But this is my personal relationship with the Lord. And it can't no one tell me, steer me any kind of way or bully me into sitting in a pew and only giving a 2-minute testimony on certain days. That bothers me. Someone did that to me a few months ago, tell me to testify, and they want to rush me. I'm all with order, and I know how to conduct myself. I grew up in the church. I know how to, I am 38 years in the Lord. I know how to conduct myself on a friendly time. But don't ask me to do something, and then at the end of, while I'm up there, rush me to get down. Now, I'm not talking about certain things, but there's certain churches I've been to where they say, you know, can you do this? And then you get up there and do it, they want to rush you. And the only reason they want me up there is for a form of, oh, just put me on the program. So it look like we got stuff going on when you really ain't got nothing going on, because a lot of people could be doing what I'm doing, but you won't give them the chance to do it. It's just I just talk too much, so every now and then you got to throw a brother a bone. But, I don't want to get into that, because now people are going to think talking about certain churches, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to get my wife in trouble.
Well, it goes back to this. You better speak, Brother Derek. It doesn't matter about an offense, because you better speak whatever God tells you to speak.
Oh, amen. I'm going to do that anyway. I just say that to clean it up. I just do that to clean it up a little bit, you know. But I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And before I move with it, I'm going to get in trouble. I can tell you that now, because I can see exactly where I'm going with this. I don't want to focus on me and what my issues are with the church. But people have been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by the church. When people get hurt, and I don't need people calling me, telling me, let it go. I've already let it go. I'm done with it. But from experience, the people who have not let it go and people who are being hurt on a weekly basis. And my job right now in 2020 is at 2020 Vision to be able to see people who are lost that are in the brotherhood or the sisterhood. I ain't talking about the sinners. I'm talking about people who are struggling to hold on every day just to keep their salvation alive. Now, you probably saying, well, how are you trying to keep yourself alive? Because they've been told that if you don't stop doing this, you don't stop doing this, and you don't stop doing this, you're going to hell. Or the reason you ain't being blessed is because this, that, and the other. And that's neither true. That's not true. People go through things because the Lord is developing them. And we struggle with things because he's developing us to be what he wants us to be. Everybody's not perfect. The Bible says that. And if any man say he is perfect, he is a lie and the truth ain't in him. So everyone struggles with something. So when we say the reason you're struggling is because of the sin in your life, that's not necessarily true. God is trying to develop them an eating habit of his word to let them grow, and they can grow on their own. And the church got so many politics and so many rules and regulations. You can and can't do this. We don't do this here. We don't do that here. Bylaws and all that. And they can take them bylaws and just flush them down the toilet, because it has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with his word. His word is the only thing that's going to sustain us and keep us in his perfect will, is his word. Not judging people, using his word to beat them up over the head with it. Now, some people do need to be beat up over the head with the word, but I'm talking about the people who are struggling to be in the will of God.
If I can add this scripture in here, Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it says right there, there's a story in the Bible about a woman who was caught in adultery. And Jesus didn't condemn her. He just told her, go and sin no more. The problem is that a lot of people want to condemn and add their two cents to somebody's situation. They want to say, oh, you shouldn't have did that, or you was wrong when you did this. And they treating people wrong. And God sees what you're doing. So you can't be condemning his people when he says right here, there is no condemnation. So if I am in Christ, why are you coming at me like that? Why are you treating me the way that you're treating me when you're supposed to be a fellow child of God? It doesn't make sense. If God is not condemning us, then you shouldn't be putting your mouth on nobody to condemn them. You should be encouraging them and lifting them up. That's what I just want to add in here.
Yes, and this is so true. And it also, to expound on what you're just, what you read in Romans 8:1, concerning leaders and browbeating, and we're all leaders if we're called or chosen by God, and you'll know when, if he's chosen you or called you. And some of us are not in the pulpit. Some of us, you know, in the last days, he said he was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Yeah, he said that in the book of Acts. So, you know, and for the ones that are in the pulpit, and some, and for those that are ministers, you know, on rosters, yes, a lot of you guys and ladies do have a whole lot that you have to contend with members, and I do agree with Brother Derek on this, backing it up in with Romans 13, the law and the liberty and Christian behavior. The book of Romans 13 talks about how we're supposed to behave as Christians. You know, if we're part of this body, it goes back to it. You know, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. No power but God. I didn't say it. The word says it. So, as he said, browbeating people. And the word of God also says, take no man unto yourself. We don't belong to our pastors. We don't belong. You are my member. No, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And Ephesians tells me that. So if I'm a member, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm here to do the work and the will of Christ. I am supposed to obey those in whom are in authority over me, as long as they are following Christ. But if there's error, and I know that there's error, and I'm in that word, I pray for that leader. But if that leader is doing stuff that they know they're not supposed to be doing, the book of Proverbs say, come out of her. And for babes in Christ, if there's anybody on this line, if you want wisdom, Proverbs is your book to go to. That is the book of wisdom. Anything you need to know about wisdom, the book of Proverbs will tell you. Corinthians, Romans, those are some of the books in the Bible that will teach you about order in the church. But as Brother Derek said, no, we're not supposed to browbeat or scold anyone. We are messengers sent by God to deliver the message and to help undergird and help get you to where it is you're trying to get to in the body. And that's with the fruits of the Spirit. Some of the fruits of the Spirit, when you hear people say that, is gentleness, kindness, love, you know. And if we're not showing some of those things, and I can go on and on, but for the sake of time, in order, if people are not showing that to you and not being phony, I'm not going to be up in, I don't have to be, like you said, up in the church house. And how you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? And then I see you in the grocery store. I see you on a bus stop, and I act as if I don't know who you are. No, that's not of God. And I can tell you guys the truth. I done had to go into crack houses and get people out of crack houses. Yes, I have. And so-called church folks have sat across the street and watched me do it. And these are holier-than-thou people. You going up in there? Yeah, I'm going up in here because the Holy Spirit say, go get that person up out of there. And do you not know people have gotten delivered off drugs? People have come out of prostitution.
Right there is the problem, what you just said, because you went up in the crack house. If I go up in the crack house, it ain't going to be that Derek went up in the crack house and delivered somebody. I'm going to be on crack, and there's going to be a whole lot of rumors going on. But see, this is the problem. This is where you got some punk preachers, because they don't want to do the work in the field. They want to do the work inside the four walls of a building. But we're supposed to be going to the crack houses. We're supposed to be dealing the world on the street corner where they're selling the crack at. We're supposed to be going out there where the prostitutes are at. But you see what, as men, and I'm talking about the men, I ain't going to talk about the women, we go out there instead of going out trying to witness to the prostitute, we're trying to get the prostitute on the side. That's why you don't see a lot of preachers going out on the street anymore. You don't see that no more. What you see now, you see your little church groups get their little glorified huddle and go out to the park and bother everybody and want to talk to everybody. I'm not at the park. I'm trying to walk. I'm not trying to talk about all that. I'm trying to get my exercise. That's what we do. Take that mess to the crack house where we're in the darkness. We want to go where it's light at. The devil ain't anywhere where it's light at. The devil, go to the crack house. This is what is not even being preached no more. You don't even see preachers talking about going into the crack houses no more. We ain't going up in there. We got to be. No, if you call by God, that's one of your go up in the crack house. That's why I call these preachers, I call them punks, because they talk a good game on Sunday, but come Monday and Tuesday, they hiding behind the desk right now. If you see them, they hiding behind desk trying to be intelligent. It don't take intelligence to go out here and to lay hands on somebody and tell someone about the name of Jesus. But we got to worry about their reputation. But the reputation gets ruined because I know a lot of stuff. I know a lot of women that mess around with a lot of preachers. But see, I got to be quiet because they're touching out my anointing. I understand that. But the real deal is you don't see preachers out there in the streets witnessing to the people that need to be witnessing. They'll walk right
and
past you
and some of them,
with their pants
some of them,
down and won't say nothing to them.
Well, some of them can't, Pastor Derek, because some of them are doing the same thing as some of those people that are doing it. And I'm going there. I'm going to talk about the real McCoy. And there may be preachers on this line. I can say what I can say because my daddy was a churcho and he was a preacher. I'm going there today. And I am direct. And I am saved. And I love and I honor my father. I don't hate. And I'm not coming from a place of hurt because I'm beyond the hurt and the pain. God rest his soul. God rest his soul. My mother was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, living for Christ. But the day before Easter, come on, somebody, in 1971, come on now, I'm going there today. You done stirred up something.
Well,
somebody on this line got to get free. And even if you're a pastor, I'm not browbeating you. Let it hit you where it have to hit you. Get it right as all the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell you. Anybody on this line that you know that you out of line, do not taint God's people. Get somewhere and sit down. and get it right for yourself, because you're going to be held accountable. My father suffered, and I saw my daddy suffer because he would not stop doing what he was doing. He had a church hoe, and he had and the other hoe was my mama's niece. Come on, somebody.
My mama's
sister's daughter. Do you hear me? Sin is a real thing. That woman tried to replace me and my brother when I'm the baby. And then my youngest brother, that's a year older than me, the first cousin that my mama took in and helped take care of her, because my aunt was a homemonger. And she got pregnant at 14, and my aunt kicked her out. Come on. My daddy, the day before Easter, 49 years ago, my mother was a seamstress. She made our clothes. She canned our food. We didn't want for nothing. Everything was fresh. She didn't get to live for me to be able to witness this, but my oldest sister gets to tell me the stories now. My great aunts, before they passed away, told me the truth of how it all went down. The same stretch of highway he was on to go get his mistress, when his own wife needed material to make his children clothes the day before Easter, when he was supposed to preach the message at the church. Oh, yeah, we're going there. Mm-hmm. He told his wife no. Her sister had just came out of Cleveland. They were in East Texas at my grandmother's. Came and got my grandmother, saw my mom, and my mom, my aunt, my grandmother, and my uncle and his wife. My grandmother, my uncle, and his wife were the only three that survived. My mother and her sister were killed in a head-on collision. Mm-hmm. The same stretch of highway they were on was the same stretch of highway he and his mistress was on. State troopers couldn't find my mother's body anywhere. And he told me when I was old enough to understand, but he didn't tell me all the truth of what it entailed, but I knew the truth because my 90-year-old great aunt told me the truth. And I said, tell me what happened. He said, well, the stretch of highway your mother and your aunt were on, the state troopers couldn't find her body. But the Lord let me know my wife was in that car. And I was waiting to hear him tell me the truth. That was partial truth. So preachers, tell your children the truth. You got outside children, tell them the truth, because you don't have to answer really to the children. They were hurt, but you got to go before God.
Amen.
I said, Dad, just tell me the truth. What happened? He said, I found your mom 40 feet in a ditch. Her neck was broken. And my dad never forgave himself, but I turned and I told him. I said, I know the truth. I know you had a mistress in the car. I said, but I forgive you. I said, I'm not going to tell you I'm not angry. I said, because you cheated me. You cheated my siblings because you were selfish. I was 11 years old, and I walked away. I said, but I forgive you. You would have thought that son of a gun would have stopped doing what he was doing, but he didn't.
Wow.
So the church hurt, it starts from the pulpit down. What you're teaching at the head, it will bleed over to the tail. And he didn't stop. And the woman that he dealt with for 42 years, I was 42 when he died, she said, I just want, that was the church hoe. She said, I just want y'all to know that I wasn't with your father when your mother was living. My dad was in the hospital, and she had listed herself as his wife. And I was highly offended by that, and I told her. And the nurse said, well, his wife, I said, ma'am, my daddy doesn't have a wife. My mother's been deceased for 42 years. And I went to his room. He was sick, but he was coherent. And she began to cry and rant and rave. I said, I'm going to need you to step out. I said, I need to know what you want to do. I said, and another thing, you better correct it with her. You had one wife, and that was my mother. He said, I didn't tell them that she was my wife. I said, well, you're going to be okay, but this needs to be dealt with. And I ended up having to give that lady a ride across the street to her car. And she told me and my deceased sister now, she's like, I never dealt with your dad. I said, when Sister Coleman was living, I said, you don't owe me an explanation. I said, but do me a favor. Please don't ever do that again. I said, because this stuff has been going on since my mother died. I said, and I'm not convinced that you weren't involved with him.
Mm.
So
wow.
That's why what Brother Derek is saying, nobody can browbeat anyone, because I lived in a household with this kind of stuff. And this stuff is very real.
I don't want to cut you off, but what's so real about what you're saying is that was in set, you know, that's going on today. And it's not just going on with pastors being a rolling stone. They what they're doing is they didn't 65 the church up, because now they're on the DL. And that's a whole nother subject for a whole nother program, is these pretty pastors, you know, want to be sissies. And they don't want to preach or teach the truth about certain things. And there's a lot of that going on right now, too. It's funny, and I just want to share this story, and I really am going to be quiet for the last time. When we talked about doing church hurt, we talked about it last week, before we went on last Monday, when we talked about the cave and being in the cave, we were talking about we were going to do church hurt. And then on Friday, this is the way it happened. We knew we were doing church hurt. We knew we was going to have you on. My bishop preached Friday night. I was engineering the show, and I was talking to some of the engineers. I kind of missed some of the message because I was talking. I probably shouldn't be telling on myself, but I was talking during service. And I heard a scream upstairs. My wife was screaming. I wanted to know what was going on. And she said, did you hear what your pastor was saying? I said, no, I was on a call. He's talking about exactly what we're going to do. And when I listened to it, I only need to hear 50 verses of what he was talking about, because when you know that you know that you know something, you don't even have to hear the whole message. I know where he was going with it. So the fact that we're doing this today and he did it on Friday and Sunday, I know we're going into the right place. We're trying to reach people who are hurting, who need someone to grab them, tell them to come on. It's going to be okay. You ain't the only one that did this. That's what we need. We need other people to go to the prostitutes, to the whole, and tell them God loves you and teach them how to hear the word, but not only to hear the word, be a doer. They need taught that. Good behavior is taught behavior. Bad behavior is taught behavior as well. If you don't chastise your child, he's going to be bad or she's going to be bad. You know, we experience that right now. That's a little hint. We experience that right now. But because some kids just don't know how to act when they go places. But at the same time, if you don't teach people good behavior and bad behavior, they don't know. And then they grow up, all they know is bad behavior. If you're not teaching these people how to hear the word on a consistent basis, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again till y'all get tired of hearing it, teach them how to hear the word. First, you got to preach the word for them to hear it. Then teach them how to be a doer of the word. Well, how do you become a doer of the word? Well, you be a doer just by your everyday living. It's not rocket science. You don't need to go to school. You don't need to sit down in someone's basement and go through some new membership classes, this, that. All you got to do is like the game we used to play, follow the leader. And as long as your leader is following Christ, you get right in line and you just follow. And when he teaches you, if you don't have an understanding, you ask questions. Some of these preachers, you ain't even allowed to ask questions. I get 4 or 5 questions a day from people that don't even go to my church. And I'm going to have fun with it, because I'm going to tell them exactly what I think. And that's the problem. And that's why preachers be calling me, telling me, because I done told their members something that I think. Well, I think that I'm in tune with the Lord, that the Lord is telling me and leading me to tell people what they shouldn't come to me then. If you don't want the truth, don't come to Derek, because I will tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth ain't always pleasant. And the truth sometimes will hurt your feelings. The truth sometimes will make you cry. The truth sometimes will get you upset, but it's the truth. And that's the thing about God's word. Even though people are living in sin, I'm going to tell them the truth. But I'm also going to let them know the other flip side of that, that the Lord loves them and put some word on whatever that sin is. But we don't want to do that. We want to conform to our ways. And I'm just going to use me as an example. I want everyone to be like that. And I'm going to be honest with you, there ain't but one there. The Lord made me wonderfully. He made me after his own image. There ain't but one there. There can't be another one. So I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Christ, because I'm nothing like Christ. I'm trying to be like him. And we have that attitude. We want everybody to be like us, like that song, "Everyone Want to Be Like Mike." But just put your name there. And we want everyone to follow us the way, and it's not supposed to be like that.
Right.
Now, people say, "You're kind of arrogant there." No, I'm not arrogant. There ain't but one there. And I will tell a preacher, I don't care who they are, in a minute, and they say, if you ain't going out preaching salvation in this time right now, I question I question everything about you. And when you talked about you went into a crack house, I'm waiting for a preacher to tell me they went into a crack house.
Or I had talk to go in a minute. But those, I'm going to tell you, and like I said, on the flip side of what, and I wanted to be transparent with you guys and share that about my dad. You know, how they say, don't tell some of the story, tell all the story, tell the truth. It was, believe it or not, his indiscretions taught me and my sisters and brothers how to be more compassionate and to understand people, because he treated the church members, and he treated his whores and mistresses better than he treated his own children. But we turned out to be pretty darn kids. Now, mind you, I had three of my brothers that ended up in jail and in prison, you know, because he was so cruel to them, so cruel to them. And I was the youngest one, and I was a mini Derek, you know, when I was younger, and, you know, like in my teens and in my early 20s, I was never disrespectful to him, but I was tactful with him. I always had a comeback for him. You know, I always had a comeback. No, you tell us this, but you're not doing that. And he would be like, you know, like, what? What he would have to go and think about it. I would see him scratching his head and walking off like, you know, I know that little heifer didn't just say that to me. I know she didn't, but he couldn't really do anything because I was speaking the truth. He would get so mad. He was like, well, I got to go. I'll be right back. I was like, okay, I'll be here when you get back. And he would be so outdone with me. And the compassion for my brothers, and they turned out to be very decent men after their troubles because of him. You know, so I'm going there about the church with even PK kids. You know, sometimes the church members get treated better than the PK kids in the church wives, the pastor's wives. And my mother, as a result, you know, lost her life and behind that, you know. But it made me have compassion for hurting people, you know, the drug addicts, the prostitution. I've never done drugs a day in my life, but do you not know those two drug addicts?
See, that's the problem. How can you be in a position to lead God's people and you ain't taking care of your first responsibility, which is your home? You're supposed to take care of home first before you do anything else. So
because, Keisha, that's what a lot of these preachers.
Like,
no, he's not. But this is what your husband is speaking on. This is what is being accepted from leaders. We know it's not right. We know what the scripture says. We know what it says, but there's accountability. There's still accountability in the book that we just read.
But the thing is that who holds the leader accountable? if the leader is not under, right, God, but that leader is not, if that leader is not, if they want to fake it like they're following God and but they're wreaking havoc in their own household, how can they?
Well,
what they are accepting is what's been acceptable.
Because we're going. Well, then we're going to call it out. I'm about to call it out real quick, and I promise you. What happens is, you know, some preachers are independent. Some have to answer to a board or whatever, and it's all fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, let's just call it what it is. A preacher is pastors, who's ever the head of the church, you know, has the power. I know this from being I've been church 38 years. I pastored a little bit. I know how this stuff works. Most churches are made up of women. Most churches are made up with women that got issues. And women that got issues, who do they tell their problems to the most? They tell it to the pastor. This is a game. So the more the more words a pastor know how to use, the more he can dictate
conniving,
manipulation. That's what I'm looking for, manipulation. So when he gets up, that's why when you go to these churches, you see a lot of women. Now, I'm not saying all pastors are like this, but pretty much a good handful of them are. They manipulate the women. That's why the women go to the church. And the women tell the pastor everything. So all he got to do is set it up to where it's up to his, and ain't no one going to say nothing. And he got a few boys
His wife should be talking to the women, not the pastor.
But
okay, well,
what he's saying, Keisha, he's saying
in some cases, the wife.
Correct.
In some cases, the wife come under subjection. In the pastor, you don't talk to the members without me. Now, when the pastor want the wife to come, it's for show. That's why when they go to the conventions.
Wow.
Wives don't show up until Thursday. But Monday through Thursday, they're not there. They're only there for a pawn, to look good. They're really not into it to be into it. All you got to do is look and see. They're really not first lady material. They just on so they can put a pretty dress on Sunday, a hat on, and act intelligent for the pastor.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's running around with a bunch of men seeking who they may devour. Knowing who they can and who they can't mess with. Because most of the women that comes in the church are broken. And when I say broken, they're broken. And who knows better how to get to a broken heart than a preacher? I'm not the best looking man in the world, but I can tell you what, because being in church for 38 years, I know what women want to hear. And
that's
I'm not saying that's a brat that I ever went like that, but I know what they want to hear. Because they're broken. They got daddy issues. Their first husband ain't treating them right. And all you got to do is listen. And once you listen, you create your own. That's what they do. But now it done got so bad and so infested that a lot of these men ain't men. They done took it to the kids. So, yeah, you got to be careful with who you let your kids talk to, especially these preachers and some of these youth, because they're not right. And it's not this stuff isn't going on. This stuff's been going on for years. It's just not, it hasn't been uncovered. I'll never forget when I was pastor, and I had my son take drum lessons, and my nephew played the drums, had to pull me to the side and said, "You don't want your son dealing with him." I said, "Why?" And when he told me the story, I couldn't believe it. But years later, the young man is in jail for molesting boys. And I was, this is what I'm saying. And it don't get promoted. Don't no one say nothing.
Nope.
There's guys, churches that play musicians that go around doing stuff that's not even right. And it don't no one talk about it because here they go with this. Touch not my anointing. We shouldn't be talking about that. He got a problem. Yeah, he got a problem. Everyone needs to know what his problem is so it don't keep continuing to go on. So, yeah, that's why the church isn't strong today. That's why Satan is running loose. There's no real men in the church. And when you do find real men in the church, when you do see them, they don't have a lot of support because they're real men. And it's hard for me, And I talk to you about this, Kay, to deal with real men. I don't know a lot of real men. I know a few real men that deals with their families and can talk about family and ain't always on. That's why I love my bishop, because when I talk to my bishop don't talk like a bishop. He talk like a man. It's his family first. There ain't no ifs, ands. I don't even know anything else about it. It's his family. And if you follow him, it's family. What I've learned in 38 years that I've learned in the last 7 months more, if you follow a real man, he'll take you quicker to a next level. It ain't even got to be deep. It's never bishop. It's always brother. But even though he's a bishop, he don't act like a bishop. He acts like a brother. So when you act like a brother, you lead people. Brothers listen to brothers. Okay, now when you want to act like a bishop and sit behind a desk and act all pretty, you're not leading nothing. You up to something. Now I'm getting in my feelings now, because that's, to me, that's what I'm experiencing. When you ain't talking about
but you're the male version, and
some bishops you can't get a hold of because they're so busy, and the kids is running wild, acting crazy, hoeing, kids fathering other kids, worse than these is preachers' kids now. Preachers' kids.
You know what?
I'm a preacher kid. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You see, you're the male version of what we went through. Now, he was, as I was telling you guys, my dad was one of them bad boys. He was a bad boy. And y'all heard me say that he treated others better than he treated his own kids. But do you not know he was strict with us? His girls? Oh, no, he didn't play that. People coming around his girls. He never even got out of line with us as his children, you know, as far as his girls. You know, some people molest their own kids, but he never did no crap like that. I think we were too crazy. I think me and my sisters would have beat him up. But truth be told, but he knew that he didn't have any weak daughters. You know, his indiscretions taught us how to be strong and how to see through. We could see through people. And right today, I'm like Brother Derek. I'm not accepted in many places, and that doesn't bother me. I don't even care, because I've lived it. I've seen it, been through it. Been through all that crap with the church hurt, but you know, one preacher had the nerve to say, "I'm gonna bind that disobedient spirit out of you." I looked and I told him, "You can't bind anything out of me, because I was with the best teacher. That was my father, and my father taught me how to see through people like you." And I went home and told my daddy what he said, and my daddy told him, "You're not dealing with an idiot here. My daughter's not a Jezebel. She's nobody's fool. And she knows when foolishness is going on." And I told Daddy, I said, "I'm not going back to that church anymore." Because he made sure that we went to church. Sunday morning, he made sure we were going to church. He didn't care what came up went. And I told him, I said, "I'm not going back." And he was like, "What happened?" And I told him, I said, "And he's cheating on his wife, just like you cheated on Mom." And he was like, "Oh,
wow.
God, here we go." And he didn't make me go back. Yeah, and he just said, "Well, if you find a church that you like, that you're comfortable with, and they're teaching the word, you can go to that church if that's what you want to go to." I said, "Okay."
Right. And
I
know we're getting. What'd you say?
I want to ask a question. Either one of y'all can answer. So how do you deal with a situation where you have people in a high position in the church, and they're just attacking someone in the church behind something foolish, but they don't let it go? It's like, okay, the person can apologize, you know, let's let it go. It was a misunderstanding or whatever you want to call it. How do you deal with people who won't let it go, and they're supposed to be the ones that's in leadership, but they keep coming at this individual or this group of people like they're in the wrong?
Okay. Can I go there, Brother Derek, and then you tag team off of it?
Go ahead. You go right on ahead. Don't be nice.
Okay, sis, that goes back to the book of Romans about quarreling.
That's called insensitive leadership. We're none of us, whether it's from the pulpit down, we're not supposed to be doing that, period. And Proverbs says, and it goes back to that rejection, all of this leads to what you started out with about rejection. The main thing is insensitive leadership to others in the church, and it's spiritual immaturity. And Proverbs 16 and 28, the Lord directs our steps. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So if a person won't let it go, and you're strong enough, even if you're not strong enough, if you're weak, God gives us enough unction. It's just like abuse, to where a person can't take it anymore. Either they're going to sit there and they're going to let a person just continue to pounce on them, whether it's emotionally, whether it's financially or physically, or you're going to find a way to get out. The Word of God said He leads us a way of escape. A lot of that is that person has not matured in the Lord, and that's where, you know, they should sit down or before God exposes them and sit them down. Warning comes before destruction. And people want to always equate that to, oh, my child is being rebellious and won't listen. No, that's any of us. God gives us all a chance to get it right. So if someone is the same instance in the world, if a person don't want to let a situation go, the word says, if you have an ought with your brother, you go to your brother. And if that brother won't listen to you, you take some elders in the church. And then if they still won't listen to you, you take it before the church. And then if that person still won't listen, you shake the dust from your feet. You've done all that you can do. You can move on from it. That's going to be between them and God. You've got that thing up off of you. And if you see that person doing that, you pray them through. As well, you know, that's the order. You pray for that person, but if they don't want to change, then that wrath in that dealing with God, God's going to deal with them on His own accord. You heard me use my own father. My father kept on with his foolishness. My father was on his foolishness until the day he died. And then one lady in our family had the audacity to get up at his funeral. We had to get up and shut it down. Me and my younger brother George had to shut it down because she was talking about how great of a man my father was and this and that and this and that. And she knew what she was doing. She was one of his church hoes. I knew that because the Holy Spirit let me know. Then I'm calling it for what it is, guys. It's the truth.
Yeah. All right.
So that kind of stuff, the church hoe that he had for 42 years that said she wasn't involved with him when my mother died, and the Holy Ghost said, yes, she was. She was even dressed like him. She was up cutting up. And I looked at my brother and I said, you're going to either handle this or I'm going to have to handle this. So come on now. We need an intervention here. And it was the same church that my mother and my father ministered in the day my mother was killed. When she was killed on that stretch of highway, and I told them, this is God's house. This is His temple. And I told them, I said, that man laying in that casket there, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. I said, that's my father. So all of those offenses, if people don't want to stop their foolishness, I'm using my dad as an example. My father suffered. When I tell y'all he suffered in his body, my father missed his 3 scores and 10 by 2 years, and he suffered tremendously in his body. So what I'm saying is, if you don't stop your nonsense in the church house, in which is our temple of the Holy Ghost, it don't necessarily mean the building. That's just a place of worship where we come together. But you individually, if you don't stop the nonsense and the foolishness, God's wrath is going to come upon you, and it ain't going to be nothing that we can do to pray it away, to cry it away, to moan it away. God's going to deal with you.
Amen. So, I just wanted to say, you know, you're bringing a lot of stuff up, and there's just so much there. I could go on, but I just want to answer Kay's question about the person. When people bring stuff up and you apologize and you let it go and they keep bringing it up, that's guilt, the spirit of guilt. They know that whatever mm-hmm. they did was wrong. And because they can't be wrong, because they sit behind a pulpit, is they're just mm-hmm. trying to make themselves feel better. And that's what happens. That's a lot of church hurt, because you can't even say you're sorry and be done with it. And the thing about it is, if that situation is, if they're still saying that, I just tell that individual, I'm free. I ain't going to charge you. But if you wanted me to go with you and be one of the brothers that they take with you, I will go with you. We'll get it straightened out. It's an end of hurt. It don't take all of that to say sorry or forgive a situation. They're too old as adults to be playing these kid games in the church. Going around bullying people, especially single women, to me is not right. It strike a nerve with me, and I don't want to go too far into it, but it's not right. I've been there before. I've been wrong before. With me now, if I'm wrong, I'm man enough to admit I'm wrong. I'm sorry. If I hurt your feelings, and I'm not being fake with it, but it don't take all of that. And even if you've done something to hurt me, we can talk about it, and I will forgive you and keep it moving. At least we acknowledge it. We got the elephant out of the room. We move on from it. But if you want to keep bringing something up and bringing it up, and Kay, you know well, because I used to do that, do you all bring up stuff, it drives a person crazy to the point where you just want to smack somebody. Not saying that you should go out and smack them, but at the end of the day, if you got an odd, go to them. And if it seems like these people got an odd because they got caught in some wrongdoing, and they don't want to be wrong. And to keep bullying a person, to tell a person to repent or do whatever they need to do, that's wrong. It is wrong. I can't tell no one to repent. Now, if I'm preaching and the Holy Spirit says you need to repent, then you need to repent. I ain't got nothing to do with Derek. That's between you and the Lord. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
How do you know that the person didn't repent? So my thing is, if I'm apologizing to you for whatever situation it is, I'm coming to you like a woman. If I was wrong, if I offended you, I apologize. My bad. Let's move on. And you're going to tell me, well, you need to repent of this. How do you know that I didn't repent before the Lord?
You don't owe that person an explanation. You just do what God told you to do. And that is not up for debate nor discussion with that person of whatever, you know. And God, you know, you just look at them and say, you know, I love you and peace be with you. And you keep it moving. You've done what you were supposed to do. You got that thing up off of you. So if that person wants to sit and stew in it, that's what he's saying. They're not over it. They're trying to guilt trip you. So you have to let that go, because, like you said, that'll drive you nuts. And that ain't nothing but a spirit that's trying to provoke you into missing out on your blessings. And don't you do it. You pray for
right.
that person. And that's called loving the hell out of a person, because that's what they have in them. When my youngest one would cut up, you know what I would tell him? I'm going to love the hell out of you. And he was like, Mama, what is that? I said, because I see hell in you. I'm not going to beat it out of you. I'm going to love it out of you. And he, right today, Ty will tell anybody, you know what my mama always told me when I was cutting up and carrying on? He said my daddy wanted to beat the hell out of me, but my mama told me she was going to love the hell out of me. Love hides a multitude of faults. In other scriptures, it say sin. So then when you hear that, hell is not a bad word. Hell is where we'll go if we don't live and do right. So long story short, sis, you love the hell out of a person. Love them.
Amen.
That's what we do. Hey,
you can
hey,
let them come
Kay, I got to do something.
Yeah.
I got to take a break, and then we got to close out, because I'm over time right now. We're working over. But I got to take a 30-second commercial break. I'm going to come back. I got to say a few words. I'm going to let both of y'all have some closing remarks, and we got to get out of here. But I'll be back in 30 seconds.
All right.
My name is Kebo Taylor, and I'm running to be your next sheriff of Gwinnett County. Today, more than ever, Our community is in need of unwavering leadership. Leadership that calls for building a bridge between our citizens and our law enforcement. Being a black male, the father of a black male, and a retired law enforcement manager, I understand the urgent need for transformative change in our law enforcement community. I'm Kevo Taylor, and I approve this message.
Hey, we are back. This is Derek Oliver. We're on Chaos Talk Radio. This is D&K Bible Break. We're live on www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or you can reach us at 845-277-9094. Tonight's topic is talking about the church hurt. We have a special guest, Emma, from Houston, Texas, that's sharing some very deep stories about her father. And just talking about church hurt in general. I want to thank you, Emma, for coming on. It's Kay, thank you.
We got a lot of background.
Yeah, I'm picking that up. Okay, I may have to mute. Hold on.
There we go.
Okay. With all that being said, I want to thank everyone that supports Chaos. I want to thank all those who listen to all the shows. Again, D&K Bible Break on Monday.
Hello? You there? All right, here. So I don't know what happened. Okay, well, we have D&K Bible Break on Mondays at 7 p.m. We have Praise Tabernacle on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. You there?
I'm here.
Okay, we still don't got them. Okay, we still don't got them. On Fridays, we have Bishop Omar Zachary Ministry. Him and his lovely wife on Friday night at 7 p.m. On Saturdays, we have the overseer, Tim Jackson, out of Texas. He has a show, Spiritual Fit, that comes on Saturdays. And then on Sundays at 5, we have, I'm drawing a blank, we have Elder Brizard that comes on at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard on Sunday. So I hope I get everybody on the list there.
I'm sorry. I actually got knocked offline. They're making fun of me. But first of all, I just want to say.
I hope I didn't miss anybody. I gave the lineup for the week. So I hope I didn't.
Line, okay. But I also want to give a little bit more about the lineup. I want to say thank you to Bishop Omar and Praise Tabernacle Church, every member. All of the deacons and elders and evangelists, thank you. You know, the numbers I got and what we're going to try to do over the next couple of weeks is amazing. I'll be talking to y'all about that later. But right now, just in a month, last month alone, we had over 40,000 listeners through the whole month. And to me, that's amazing. I just want to thank you for Friday night, Sunday morning, and Tuesday night. I just want to say thank you. And also a few Wednesdays end up helping us a little bit too. Numbers-wise, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you, love you, and thanks. Also to the overseer, I think he's on the line tonight as well. I want to say thank you for Freestyle Friday and your Saturday show. You know, I just want to say thank you for doing what God called you to do. Also, Elder Bazaar on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. I just want to say thank him on Wednesday nights and Sunday afternoon, Sunday evenings, going on the airways, preaching the gospel. And then, Kay, I want to thank you for coming on Mondays, helping us uplift our numbers. I know you don't want to know the numbers, but, you know, we do get a good showing on Monday night. Yeah, I posted them. But at the end of the day, I just want to say thank all of y'all. Because, like I said, Blog Talk has want to take us to a whole new level, and I appreciate everything that they're trying to do on Blog Talk and where they're trying to get us to go, my sponsors, and everything they're trying to work with us to do, even though this COVID-19 is really, I'm not going to say it's messing everything up, but it's giving us an opportunity to do something that we wouldn't be able to do if we wasn't in this pandemic. So something good is coming out of it, and I'm excited. 40,000 people in a month from Sunday to Monday has listened to Chaos Talk Radio. And I just want to say thank you again personally to all those that have come out there to listen. Those that listen tonight, I know we were a little long. I apologize. But we'll be back next Monday. I'm going to let Sister Emma and Sister Kay close this out. But I wanted to put those thank yous in there. Also, my man, Sheriff Taylor, who's running for sheriff, go out and vote for him tomorrow in Gwinnett County. He's listening as well. I told him I was going to be playing his commercials on all our shows we had today. And tomorrow is election day. And let's just try to get the black sheriff. Let's try to get him in office. He's a good brother. I know Bishop Omar is how I met him. So I know Praise Tabernacle know who he is very well. And we're just going to support him at the polls tomorrow night. So good luck to you, Sheriff Taylor. We'll be praying for you and your family. And with that being said, I hope I got all my thank yous out there. I forget so much stuff, and I should write it down. But, again, I just want to thank everyone. And then join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m., same time, same phone number, 845-277-9094, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study will be on live. So tune in and listen to the Bible study. And then on Friday night, you can hear Bishop Omar show out and shout out of his suit. I don't know what he's preaching Friday night, but believe you me, he will come out of that suit real quick. And then on Sunday morning at 11 a.m., if you ain't worshiping somewhere, I'm going to be honest with you. And just because I got the time, you ain't going to hear Bishop and his wife sit behind the desk and act like they're intelligent people. You will have church on Sunday. I was shocked to hear my wife screaming Friday night. That was the first. Ain't saying she ain't shouted before, but she got loud with it. She got a Church of God in Christ shout on Friday. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay. And that's a good thing. That's when you know you're preaching. And he'll be back at it again on Friday night. I don't know what he's preaching, but I guarantee you, if it got my wife up shouting, it's going to be a good word. I'm not just saying that to promote it. I'm just saying it. If you want your house to have some church, real church, sanctified church, tune in on Friday night. That's all I'm going to say. And better yet, go to Blog Talk. Go to Facebook Live, Praise Tabernacle Church, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. That's not no pretending. That's real church. And that's the definition of church. Better yet, instead of going to Webster Dictionary, you want to see the definition of real church? Friday night, go to Facebook Live, Praise Tabernacle, go to their page and watch it live for yourself. To listening to it on Blog Talk and seeing it on Facebook is two different things. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. That's why I appreciate the preacher for preaching and not getting caught up sitting behind the desk acting like a bishop. So I want to say thank him. And even to Overseer, that does Saturdays preaching and teaching the word of God the way that he does. I appreciate you. And even Elder Bazaar, appreciate all of y'all. But tonight, B&K Bible Break was about church hurt. And Kay, I'm going to let you close us out and let you and Emma close us out and have last words. I'm done talking.
All right, Emma, do you want to say anything?
You can go. If you want to pray us out, I can pray us out however you want to do it. I'm following your lead.
I want to share one scripture, John 13:35. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the bottom line, if we're showing the love of Christ, then we shouldn't have all this drama in the church. So we need to get our eyes focused on who's in charge, because it's the Lord's house. So
amen.
My prayer is that the Lord softens our hearts so that we'll become more vigilant in laying down our own ambitions, elevating His will above our own. I pray that He heal our hearts from church hurt and give us the grace needed to open our hearts again to His people and to use our experience for His glory. So everything that we've been through, everything that we've experienced in the church, I pray that at the end of the day, it is used for God's glory. So I'm going to ask Miss Emma to go ahead and have a word of prayer for us, and then we'll be off the air.
Amen. Father God, we come lifting You up because You're great and You're worthy to be praised. You deserve all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor which belongs to You. Father God, we thank You for this service. We thank You for every heart and every mind being open to Your word, not unto us, but to You be all the glory. Father, we thank You for one mind in Christ, one spirit called the Holy Spirit, and the wholeness and the fullness of You. As we go about our weeks, we pray our weeks, months, and years and days to come. We pray Your prayer of protection over every household, every family, every church, our children, neighbors, co-workers, friends, sisters and brothers in Christ, and leaders in charge. We pray for the office, the deputy that's running for sheriff there in Gwinnett County. Father God, we ask Your most perfect will be done in the body of Christ and for Your people for the greater good of the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. You said whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We bind up the spirit of confusion because You're not the author of confusion, and loose the spirit of peace. You loose the spirit of unity and oneness and wholeness in all that we do in the body of Christ and therein. In Jesus' name we pray. We say thank You and amen.
Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Going on with the Lord. Everybody say my mind is what up? And I'm all about it. Come on. Going on. Going on. No more music. My mind is. Come on. And I'm all my. Gonna hold my. Going on. Everybody say my mind is.